I told you, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom came to Christ about a year after I did and became one of the most godly people I've ever known. The Lord took her home to himself in 1981. But my father, who was a tavern owner, was the most resistant person to the gospel I have ever known, bar none. He warned me never to talk to him again about that religious stuff. At age 84, my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And one day he phoned. And it was a miracle that I picked up the phone, because I usually screen it, wait to, you know, the answering machine. But Dad would never leave messages, you know, from the old school. You don't leave messages, these newfangled contraptions and all of that. And for some reason, and it was a problem of the Spirit of God, I picked it up. It was my dad. He was very upset. And he said these words, "I called to say goodbye. I said, I'm in terrible pain, and I know the end's coming, and I've got a gun to my head. And I called to say I'm sorry to leave you this mess." And so I begged him to hold on. So I jumped into my car, and I made the 30-minute drive from my house in the Portland area to his house in Vancouver, Washington. Made that 30-minute drive in probably about 16 minutes. And got up there, and I just begged him to hold on, and I got there, and I ran to the front door. I knocked on the door, no response. I opened the door, swung open, and there laying on the floor in front of me were a couple of guns and a rifle. And I braced myself, because I'm calling, "Dad, Dad," no response, no response. And his room is over here on the left, so I'm walking over here to the left, breathing deeply to step into his bedroom, afraid of what I was going to see. And as I step into the bedroom, he walks out and knocks into me. And I put my arms around him. And I get him in the car. I drive him to the emergency room at a nearby hospital. And they say that they're going to put him through a surgery the next morning. But at his age, and in his condition, they really didn't know whether he would survive or not. So I told him, he was exhausted by then, I said, "Dad, I'm going to come back in the morning. I'm going to come back an hour before you go into surgery. I don't want to talk to you about some things." And so I came back the next morning, an hour before, and I came up to him, and he's, you know, he's laying there in the hospital bed that he's going to be wheeled away in. And I said, "Dad, I know you don't want to hear this, and I know you've told me never to talk to you about it again, but because I love you, I've got to tell you the truth about Jesus. And so I'm going to do that." I wasn't asking permission. I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And so I opened up Scripture, and I went to the early chapters of Romans. Now I turned to Romans 3, and if you're familiar with Romans 3, you know that if you want to get depressed about humanity, this is a great chapter to read. I mean, it goes on and on. Their throats are an open grave. There's none that has done good. None is righteous. No, all have sinned. And, you know, on and on and on about sin. And my father, the tavern owner, if there's one thing he couldn't abide, it was being called a sinner by church-type people. And you have no idea. Well, some of you know exactly how much I wanted to skip over Romans 3 and get to Romans 6 and Romans 10 and the really good news, but I didn't. I read through it because I thought, "God, that's your job to change his life. I can't change his life. I can't bring him to you. I can't transform him. Only you can do that. And so I'm just going to tell him what you say. It's your job if you're going to do a work in his life." So then after Romans 3, we made it to Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10 about being saved through faith and confessing that Jesus as our risen Lord. And finally, after a half hour, I looked at Dad in the eye of reading Scripture. I looked Dad in the eyes and I asked him, "Have you ever confessed your sins and asked Jesus to forgive you?" Now, obviously, I knew the answer to that question. I had pretty much no faith at all that God was going to bring my dad to himself. But I was thanking the Lord already for giving me one last opportunity with him. And I will never forget in that pause after asking him, have you ever confessed your sins and asked Jesus to forgive you? Where he said no, and then in a weak voice, a longer pause, after he said no, a long pause, and then he says, but I think it's about time I did. And I looked at him, and I witnessed a miracle far greater than the parting of the Red Sea. And those of you who have family members like my dad know exactly. It's real easy to believe God created the heavens and the earth, and that he sent manna from heaven, and that the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea and crossed the Jordan. I mean, that's a piece of cake. And that Jesus rose people from the dead. Okay, no problem. But for that particular loved one to come to faith in Christ is a miracle beyond miracles. And I had the joy of praying aloud with my father and hearing him confess his sins and place his faith in Christ just before they wheeled him into surgery. And the surgery was successful, and God gave me 5 more precious years with my dad. The day that I held his hand as he died, and my wife was there, and my daughters were there, I knew that I would not only see my mom in heaven, but I'd see my dad there. But here's the thing, and here's the reason I told you this story. That morning in the hospital, I really, really wanted to bypass truth and go directly to grace. But here's the deal. When we do that, by the time we get to grace, it isn't grace. Because the truth that's at the root of grace, that has to do with human depravity and human sin and human need, is not there. And so I thank God that by his grace I resisted that temptation, which was stronger than it's ever been in my life, to withhold God's truth from my dad for fear of offending him once again. But to withhold the truth would have been to withhold grace. And we cannot separate grace from truth without cutting Jesus in half. And people don't just need part of Jesus. They need all of Jesus. So hate the sinner, love the sin. No one did either like Jesus. Truth hates sin. Grace loves sinners, those full of grace. And truth hates sin and love sinners. Grace and truth are the fingerprints of Jesus. As Christians and as Christian writers, we show people Jesus only when we show them both grace and truth.